Yeah, I'm excited for this morning, and I know that God has something in store for us. If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Kings chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7, we're going to look at verse 3 through 9. It will be on your screen as well. And so let's look at what that says. Here it says, okay. Now there were four men with leprosy sitting at the entrance of the city gates. Why should we sit here waiting to die, they asked each other. We will starve if we stay here. But with the famine in the city, we will starve if we go back there. So we might as well go out and surrender to the Aramean. I was practicing how to say that. Aramean army, if they let us live, so much the better. But if they kill us, we would have died anyways. So at twilight, they set out for the camp of the Arameans. But when they came to the edge of the camp, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the Aramean army to hear the clatter of speeding chariots and the galloping of horses and the sounds of the great army approaching. The king of Israel has hired the Hittites and the Egyptians to attack us, they cried to one another. So they panicked and ran into the night, abandoning their tents, horses, donkeys, and everything else as they fled for their lives. When the lepers arrived to the edge of the camp, they went into the tent after another, eating and drinking wine, and they carried off silver and gold and clothing and hid it. Finally, they said to each other, "This is not right. This is a day of good news, and we aren't sharing it with anyone. If we wait until morning, some calamity will certainly fall upon us. Come, let's go back and tell the people at the palace." I know an obscure verse will get there. I hope it hits you and it's making you think right now. But let's pray that God would really speak to us this morning about really our heart for the nation of Canada. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that in just a few days we are going to celebrate the 150th of Canada. And God, we just pray that this morning would be a morning of stirring in our hearts for our nation. Stirring in our hearts for what part we get to play in what your plans are for our nation, Canada. And so, God, would you do something in us, inspire us, speak to us this morning, encourage us as we are here hearing, and speak through me, through my cold and weirdness. In your name we pray, amen. Amen. Well, a little while ago, Janice had this really cool experience. She had her phone. She had her phone, and she was flipping through, and she got to the part on your iPhone where it takes voice memos, you know? Anybody use the voice memos app on your phone? It's kind of a fun little thing. You can remind yourself of things or whatever. But she's going through it, and she flips back. She's got, like, it looks like over 100 of these voice memos. And as she gets back down to the earlier ones, she realizes that they're all of Seth. And see, what Seth used to do when he was like 3 and 4 years old, he used to take mom's phone and he used to go to the voice memo and record himself. And then he would listen back and he thought that was the funniest thing and he would giggle like crazy. And his little giggle, oh my goodness, it was so good. And so we would do whatever we could to make him giggle because it was just that good. But so we would keep giving him the phone so that he would keep recording and keep doing these little messages to himself. Some of them were just a bunch of like gobbledygook and like weirdness as he's just getting silly and stuff like that. But some of them were just adorable. Some of them you honestly couldn't make heads or tails of what he was actually saying. But one of my favorites was a recording of me talking to Seth. And I don't know if Janice put it on when we were doing, I think it was in the car or something. I was driving and I was having a conversation with Seth in the back. And he was talking about how he loves looking at guns. See, even when he was younger, he was a hunter at heart. I'd take him out hunting when he was young. When he was like 2, I think, was the first time I took him out hunting with me. And so he loves guns. And he kept saying, I was wooking at a gun. And I was like, "You're wooking?" And he's like, "No, I was not wooking. I said, I am wooking at a gun." And I'm like, "Yeah, wooking? No, I'm saying wook, not wook. I'm saying wook." And he just keeps saying wook. Like he can hear that it's saying W, but in his mind, he thinks he's saying the L, and he's not. It was so funny. We just like went on to it. Another one of the things that the voice memos that we got that I absolutely loved was Seth singing our national anthem. It was so cool. He's singing "Oh Canada," except he started off, he's like, "Oh Canada." Because there's a D in there, I guess, that's, you know, Canada. And even now, after listening to those messages, he starts to sing it like that again. And I'm like, "Hey, not cute anymore. Stop it." But yeah, "Oh Canada." And then like, and the next he'd be like, "We stand on God for thee." And I'm just like, "Yeah. Yeah, we do." But you know what? I'm listening to it. And at the end of the game, or at the end of the game, at the end of the song, he'd even be like, "Okay, now play the game." And because the only time he had ever heard a national anthem when he was younger was at the beginning of a hockey game. And so he's thinking, "This is what we do, okay?" And he's like, he'd be like, "Okay, I'll get to the end of the song." He's like, "Now play the game." And so he's having a blast. It was so good. But this got me thinking. It really did. It got me thinking. You know, we've just, over the past little while, been going through a series and been talking about being rooted and grounded in God. We've been talking about growing in Him. And to me, we're talking about standing on Him and pushing into it. And with Canada Day coming up on, did I just say Canada? I think I did. Shoot. On Canada Day, we're going to be celebrating Canada's 150th, which is no minor thing. This isn't just an ordinary Canada Day. Like, we're talking, this is 150 years of heritage, 150 years of history that we are celebrating. And I couldn't help but think of the way that Seth's saying our national anthem. "Oh Canada, oh Canada, we stand on God for thee." And I was like, man, he's got it. If only he would remember that for the rest of his life. We stand on God. We need to let our roots grow down as we stand on Him, to grow into Him. Why? For our nation. We just talked about how the purpose of us being rooted and grounded in Him and growing into maturity was not just for us. Yes, it is for us. We all should be in a place where we are growing in a relationship with Him, where we are understanding more and more every day who we are because of Him. Absolutely, that is a necessity that we have in our lives. However, it is more than just for us. It's for the people around us. This church, us, as we are positioning ourselves to press into a season of relaunch and really re-identifying ourselves, grabbing hold of what was, of all of the great things that are in our heritage as a church, and pressing on into the next season that God has for us, we need each person to be growing. Absolutely. But as we think about our nation, Canada, and think about how we desperately need to see our nation turned back and turned towards Jesus, it's going to take us standing on God for thee. So we're going to press into that a little bit this morning and see what that looks like. Over the past few years, to tell you the honest truth, I have grown a heart for Canada. My parents are probably going to listen to this, and so they'll be like, "That's weird already." Because as a teenager, I probably rebelled about everything just because I was that kind of a kid. But my room was full of American flags. My bedspread was made out of the American flags. Like, it was nuts, okay? I had an American flag on my wall. I have no idea why. No idea, okay? So don't. Anyways, I have grown this heart for Canada. I may not be like the absolute most patriotic person, because there's some of those people out there that are way beyond me in that, but like, I have a heart for our nation, a heart to see people come to Jesus in Canada. I really have a heart for Canada and want to see God have this mighty move that would sweep from the west to the east to the west, from the north to the south and south, just all over. I want to see God move in the nation of Canada. I want to see God set hearts on fire for Him. I want to see people that are so far from Jesus come close to Him. I want to see Canada proclaim the name of Jesus in every aspect, in every way that we possibly can. But when I start to think about the task that is in front of me, the task of seeing millions of people turn to Jesus, to see millions of people who are far from him brought close to him, that task is huge, is way beyond what I think I am capable of, is way beyond what I think may be possible or what's in front of us. And it just seems so outrageous, so big. And maybe you're like me. I hope this morning we are full of people that in this room would say, I have a heart for my nation. I love the nation of Canada. If you're not, we'll pray for you after, and God will give you a heart for your nation. But I hope that we have those people here that would say, I love Canada. I want to see a mighty move of God sweep through Canada. I want people to know the name of Jesus in Canada personally, intimately, in relationship with him. I want more than what we're seeing now. I want Jesus to be made known in this country. And you may think about the task that's in front of us as well and think, wow, that's so big. It's almost impossible. It just seems too big. And I know that there's people that would say that Canada is a really dark place. We've talked about how people talk about our city and talk about how it's a hard place. I've heard some statistics about Canada that wouldn't bode well, wouldn't speak very highly about where we are as a nation in respect to spirituality and knowing Jesus. You know, you've probably heard those statistics as well. I was trying to find some so that I can share some with you, but every statistic that I found seemed different, and so I didn't want to spread like untrue, like propaganda here. So it just doesn't look good no matter which way you look at it. The growing trend of Christianity, of Bible-believing Christians in Canada is on a downward trend. And I know that we hear those statistics and it's a little bit scary and we think about it. In fact, there was a statistic that was just becoming known when I was a youth pastor, where we are now entering a new generation of young people that have never heard of the name Jesus Christ before. In Canada, there is an emerging generation that has never heard of the name Jesus Christ before. And some of you may be thinking that's impossible. At the very least, they would have at least heard it in a swear word, you know? Come on, somebody's had to have cussed like that before and they would have heard it, but no. If you just listen to an emerging generation's vocabulary and stuff like that, you won't hear them use the Lord's name in vain anymore. They'll say other things, absolutely, but they won't use that anymore. Why? Because that name holds no value to them. It doesn't exist. This statistic was made known to me through Youth Alpha, as I know the people who are making the videos and doing it, and it just opened my eyes. That was years ago now, a number of years ago now. And my heart, obviously, being very much still a youth pastor and involved in youth ministry in our nation, that statistic cannot be. That statistic is something that absolutely breaks my heart. And though we are not seeing what we would like to be seeing in the way of Jesus in our nation, and though we are not maybe seeing our leaders believing in him and proclaiming his name in government places, and though we are not seeing the mighty revivals or whatever that we would love to be seeing right now, what do we do with this? You know, we talk about how we need to get our government out of here because, you know, they're not Christian, they're not leading us in the right way and stuff like that. And listen, we have to understand Romans 13:1 that says everyone must submit to governing authorities. For all authority comes from God. And those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. Read your Bible. There are nations that were led by God before before like we existed as a nation, absolutely, in the Bible there's situations where God would come in and use like the worst of the worst nations to conquer other places, and it was all by God's design and authority. God is still in this. We need to realize that God is still God, and God is still on the throne, and he has a plan. And if you didn't know this already, for the nation of Canada, God's plan is you. God's plan for the nation of Canada is his church. It's you. You play an important role, a very important role in this whole picture. And though it may seem way beyond what you are capable of, you need to play your part. You are those people. You are God's plan. You are the church. I am part of the church. We are a body. If we would understand that we are God's plan to reach our nation, and we stepped into it, man, can you imagine what would happen? The plan to see Canada reached for Jesus is you. So what does that mean? Wow. Okay. That's pretty heavy. I got this. And we go out and just do it. No. What does this mean for us? When we start to talk about reaching our nation for Canada, it seems huge. It's impossible. It's not something that one person can do. But just like the old saying, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? This is what we need to do. We need to bring it down to our simplest form, where if every single one of us were doing our own individual part, we would see the nation of Canada reach for Jesus. This is why I chose this image. Just each individual piece coming together, we would see the nation of Canada reached. Bring it down to its simplest form. And to me, when we're talking about having a heart for our nation, it first starts for us having a heart for our city. Having a heart for the city of Victoria, and I'm not talking about just loving the place that you live in because it's beautiful. Like, we have a pretty easy place to love, okay? Like, we got it pretty easy. There are some people in the middle of the prairie somewhere that are like, oh, Jesus, why? Okay, I love this place. If you're in the prairies, listen to this, I'm sorry. I know you love your city and whatever, but it's all good. We need to have a heart for our city, and instead of like adding to the banter and adding to the destruction, I think of with words to our city that says our city is a dark place. I don't know if God can move in our city. I don't know if it's possible. I don't know. People are just unwilling to hear. And let me tell you, I understand that in the nation of Canada and so much more in the province of British Columbia, because British Columbia, when you talk about like stats for Christianity and stuff like that, British Columbia is the lowest of all of the provinces in all of the statistics I saw. That was consistent. British Columbia is the least Jesus-believing province out of all of the provinces. And our city, absolutely, we've talked about it before, where our city is a very spiritual place, where people take bits and pieces of world religions and make fit whatever they want that fits their own spirituality. And, yeah, good enough. And so, yeah, I get it. Our city is dark and our city is hard, but we can't keep speaking to that. We need to start looking at our city and say, Jesus, you are welcome here. Jesus, we want to see you move. Our city is not a dark place because we are light, and where there's light, there can't be dark. You put us here. And so use us as we start to see, start to speak life over our city. Victoria is a blessed city. Victoria is home for Jesus. Victoria has potential. Victoria, whatever we start to say, if we start speaking life, we'll start seeing life. As we start to pray and intercede for our city, God will give us a heart. If we say, Jesus, give me a heart like never before for my city, he will give you a heart for your city, a heart like God's heart, because Jesus loves Victoria. Jesus loves Victoria. Jesus has a plan for Victoria. Victoria will not be this new age city. It will be a Jesus-believing city. Speak life over your city. And really, sometimes our city in itself can seem too big. We think about the city of Victoria, which has almost 400,000 people in the surrounding GTV, whatever, I don't know, Greater Victoria area thing. As we look at that, it seems too big. Even that, it seems too big. How are we going to do that? As you start to pray for your city, as you start to say, God, this is your home. Jesus has a heart for my city. He will shape your heart for the city. He will change the way that you see your city, and not just in the landscape and not just in the beauty of the city, but in the people. And he will start to open your eyes to different communities that he is opening up and he is making ready, which I believe that this community that we have been placed in is being opened up for us. As we are pushing into our relaunch, God is saying, plant yourself here, put roots here, and let me move through you as you go. Have meaningful conversations with people that are in your life. See, here's the beauty of it. God has already given you relationships in your life. Relationships with your coworkers, relationships with your family members that don't know him. You already in your life, I'm sure, have at least one relationship with somebody that doesn't know Jesus. And if not, there's this beautiful thing that he will allow you to meet somebody as you say, God, I need more people that don't know you so that I can be a witness. Give yourself the opportunity by asking for those people. And something that I am learning is instead of trying to look super far away and be like, God, give me that community over there, give me some. He's going to say, how about the person that lives beside you? How about your neighbor? I shared with our group on Thursday that, man, one of the things that God is asking me to do is step out of my comfort zone and start talking to my neighbors. I met, we have a townhouse complex that was just built off to the north side of our house. And we met a young couple there named Haley and Ted. They have a little Ella who's just adorable. And we met Erica and her dog Bailey. That live in the duplex beside us upstairs. And there's new owners that just moved in, a young teacher named Rachel. And we're meeting our neighbors. And as we're meeting our neighbors, God is just opening my heart for them, saying, I want them to be a part of my family. And I found out that Haley and Ted already know him, and I'm just like, I'm celebrating. I'm like, this is so good. We're starting to build a team for our neighborhood. Like, this is going to be awesome. And we just start speaking life into the situation and start thinking about what Jesus could do. But make your conversations purposeful. Think about what you're doing. Don't just end up talking about the weather all the time. Talk about something that's going to lead to relationship. Allow yourself some space to really invite them in. If you don't know your neighbors, bake them a pie and take them a pie. Step out of what is comfortable to you and make yourself known and present in their lives. Get to know the people that don't know Jesus in your life so that you can speak life into it. Listen, here's something that we absolutely need to understand. Is we have the best news. We have the best news that's out there, the best that has ever been, the best that will ever be. We have the best news. You know, we've heard time and time again of people who are timid, who are of sharing their faith with people. Actually, at groups on Thursday, there was somebody that shared about the fact that it was always hard to talk about the fact that they go to church. And that's now starting to become a part of their conversations, and how that's just awesome, how that's a good thing, and that they're excited about that. And this is what it's about. We have the best news that's out there. And just like the lepers in the story that we read about as we started this off this morning, we have to realize and come to a place where we say, this is not right. This is not right. We have good news, and we need to share it. We have to share it. The Assemblies of God in South Africa were celebrating one of their anniversaries. It was like, I think, their 109th anniversary. They were going through some of their history and going right back to the very beginning, where there was this gentleman who was one of the very first missionaries that went out to South Africa. His name was Charles Chawner. And as he went out, can you imagine now for a second, this is back in like the early 1900s, that they were like missionary going out. So there's people that like have never seen white people, let alone like, you know, so these missionaries are going out. And he went out to evangelize to the Zulu people. He went out to evangelize to these people, and he's sharing the good news, and people are starting to come to Jesus, and it is absolutely incredible. And then all of a sudden he hears from this tribal person from the Zulu tribe. He says, and this is exactly what he says. He's like, "Brother, what took you so long? Why are you white people so selfish with the gospel?" And Hudson Taylor, who is a very famous missionary as well, one of the very first missionaries to China, would have heard something very similar to that. As some of the Chinese people that got saved said to him as well, is, "How long have you known about this good news? How long and why has it taken so long for you to come and tell us? Where have you been?" This morning, I'll invite Marg up. This morning, I want us to realize that maybe your neighbor is sitting at home right now, not knowing of this good news. And when they find out the good news that you have, the good news that brings hope, the good news that sets free, the good news, they might say, "What took so long? Why have you waited?" I don't want us to be a people that would wait. I don't want to hear those stories of like, "Man, I wish you would have come sooner. I wouldn't have had to walk through that. I would have known this freedom sooner. I would have known this hope sooner." Can you imagine what it would be like, family, for us to say, "You know what, enough is enough. The good news that I have, the gospel that is within me, the truth that I know, I have to share it. This is not good. It is too good not to share. It's not right. I need to share this." Can you imagine what it would be like, family, if we would be a people that said, "I will not wait any longer. What may be comfortable to me and it may be easy for me, I'm going to step beyond that. I'm going to step out into the unknown. I'm going to be a little bit uncomfortable. I'm going to talk to that neighbor. And I'm not going to worry about my faith coming out. I'm going to get excited about the good news that's within me, and I'm going to share it." Can you imagine what that would be like, church? I can guarantee you that people in your life, the people that have relationship that you have relationship with already that don't know Jesus, as you said, "Enough is enough, I will share the gospel." As you did that, they would get saved. The good news that we have within us, the good news that sets people free, the good news that gives hope to the hopeless, the good news. As we share that, people can't help but come to Jesus. Can you imagine what it would be like for our church if each one of us did our part and said, "You know what? God, give me a heart for this city. God, give me a heart for the community that you've placed me in. God, give me a heart for my nation. Give me a heart for the community of people, the people that are already in my life, the people that you're going to bring to me. God, give me a heart." And we stepped out and we started to see the people in our lives being saved. We started to see new faces at church, and not new faces that are just coming from other churches, but faces that have never heard of the name Jesus before, faces and lives that have been dramatically changed and altered by the gospel that you shared with them. Can you imagine what that would be like, church, for our city? as we cry out, Jesus, you are welcome in the city of Victoria. Jesus, this is a blessed city. Jesus, we want the city of Victoria to know your freedom. We want the city of Victoria to know the hope that is in you. Jesus, come. It wouldn't just be for our church. It would be for every church, the church of Victoria. There would be explosive growth as we, his church, would come to a place where we said, enough is enough. This is not right. We need to share the gospel that's in us. Can you imagine what it would be like, church, if we, the Church of Victoria, in this city, did our part? Can I just remind us that we are in a capital city? There is something significant and I think almost prophetic. As we step into what God has for us as a church, there will be a spillover effect to our city, that there will be a spillover effect to our province, that there will be a spillover effect to our nation. Can you imagine what it would be like, church, as each piece does their part and each piece finds their home in the family of Jesus? The huge, incredibly impossible looking task of seeing our nation one for Jesus now seems possible as we, with the power of the Holy Spirit within us, step out of what we know is comfortable and say, Jesus, use me to bring the nation of Canada to you. I want to pray for you this morning as we close, but before we do that, I want us to just pause. See, something happens in moments like this, and I'm not saying that there's like some spiritually, hugely significant thing that can happen in moments like this, but it's more because we just give him time and space. This can happen at any time if you give him time and space, just saying. But anyways, if we want to see the whole Psalm 72:8 that says, he shall have dominion from sea to sea, as we do that, we need to play our part. And so something can happen in these moments if we allow him to speak to us, where he will say, you know what? This person in your life is who I want you to go after. This person in your life is who I want you to share the gospel with. This person in your life is who I want you to share your life with and be in relationship with and speak life with. So if we allow him a few moments, he will speak. He's good. He's faithful. He'll do that. And so I want to pause for just 30 seconds, a minute tops, and allow him to speak to you. And just pray quietly, say, God, give me a heart for my nation. Give me a heart for my city. Give me a heart for my community. And show me the people that you want me to speak to, starting this afternoon. Let's pray. As we draw our time to a close this morning, I want to read you something. It's actually verse 4 of our national anthem. And I want this to be a prayer over us this morning. Verse 4 of O Canada says this, Ruler Supreme, who hearest our humble prayer, hold our dominion within thy loving care. Help us to find, O God, in thee, a lasting rich reward, as waiting for the better day, we stand on guard. Father, we thank you for our nation. We thank you for Canada. We thank you that we were founded on you. We thank you that you are here. And though we may not see the full effect of what we know to be true in you, in our nation, God, we know that you are still God and you are still on the throne. And so, God, would you help us? Embolden us, God, with your Spirit. Help us to step out of what may be comfortable and into the unknown and into what may be a little bit scary as we share our faith, as we share the gospel. Give us a heart for our nation like never before. Give us a heart for our city like never before. God, give us a heart for our community. And God, give us a heart for the people that are in our lives that desperately need to know you. You are so good. We know that to be true. As we have come to know you, God, we want that for the people in our lives. Give us the boldness and this courage to step out of our comfort zone and into the lives of the people that you have placed in our lives. And God, would this be a church known for courage, for boldness? God, would this be a church that people that are far from you could find family and relationship with you? Be with us as we go. We love you. We praise you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.